Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The NFL has a big, tough issue right in its lap. Players are still taking a knee during the national anthem, protesting racial injustice. President Donald Trump shouts they should be fired. Mike Pence has now walked out of a game. The league says they should stand, but hasn't forced it yet. Feelings run deep. This hour On Point, the NFL protests and where we go from here. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. What's right here? What's wrong? Where do you stand? Or who do you stand or kneel with? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. It all kind of started. I mean, Colin Kaepernick had it going on, but it was just going quietly along, very low key, until that famous rally, infamous maybe, September 22nd in Huntsville, Alabama. President Trump went after NFL players who take a knee during the national anthem. We don't normally air this kind of language, but this is the President of the United States.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
And wow, off we went. Right after that, you had all kinds of what looked for a minute like unity there, people linking arms and kneeling. You had owners coming down, even coaches out there. That may be now not so clear. After Sunday's game, Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, told reporters that if players do anything disrespectful to the flag, they'll be benched. And on Monday, he reiterated that policy in a phone call with ESPN.
The policy and my actions are going to be that if you do not honor and stand for the flag in a way that a lot of our fans feel that you should, if that's not the case, then you won't play.
And now you've got people weighing in all over. We'll hear from players, but here's Al Sharpton calling for a meeting between civil rights leaders and after Jemele Hill was fired over her critical tweets. He also addressed Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones for saying he'd bench those players.
Jerry Jones' decision in many ways smacks of a plantation mentality. Let us not forget, Jerry Jones himself took a knee with members of the team. In essence, what Jerry Jones is saying is that you can bow if I tell you to bow. You can take a knee if I tell you to take a knee and take it with me. But if you want to do it on your own, then you'll be off the field.
Boy, and here we are. We're going to look at it. Joining me first today from Denver, Colorado, is Robert Klemko, NFL writer for Sports Illustrated. He wrote a piece on Tuesday headlined Roger Goodell's National Anthem Letter to NFL Owners Annotated. We'll look at some of that annotation. You can find a link to it at our website, onpointradio.org. Robert Klemko, thank you very much for joining us today from Denver.
Thank you for having me.
And with us from Baltimore is Alejandro Danois, editor-in-chief of the Shadow League sports website. He's been all over this story. You can link to his latest as well at our website. Alejandro, very good to have you here today. Thanks a lot.
Hi, Tom. Appreciate you having me.
Robert Klemko, would you be good enough, because you follow sports all the time. We don't, but we're paying attention. But walk us through the events, if you would, starting with Mike Pence and through this week. What happened this week to get us to where we are now in this story, Robert?
Right. So just to go quickly back to last year, Colin Kaepernick started this protest in the preseason, and it carried a lot of steam, and many players around the league joined in.
Yep.
And it was sort of a non-issue this offseason until the season approached, and I think everybody realized that this wasn't going to end. It continued this season, though it was in smaller and smaller numbers every week for the beginning of the preseason and the first few weeks. And then Mike Pence was sent to, or traveled to, from the West Coast, a Indianapolis Colts game, with instructions from the president that if players were to disrespect the national anthem or the flag, in his words, that they should, that he, Vice President Pence and his party should depart. I think you could make the argument, knowing that they were playing the San Francisco 49ers, a team that has knelt for the entirety of this saga, that they knew that this was going to be the result. And I think it created what you're seeing now, which is a political firestorm, as opposed to what was becoming just an NFL issue before that happened. Now you have the president weighing in and the NFL commissioner writing a letter to all 32 NFL teams on Tuesday, encouraging players to stand, promising that the league would work with players on the issues that they're protesting for, though the letter does not mention any of those specific issues. And, of course, they were originally protests against police brutality and racial inequality in the United States.
Alejandro, what about the owners at this point? You've got Jerry Jones saying stand or be benched, or anything disrespectful to the flag, or be benched. Are there other owners, Alejandro, following that lead at this point?
Well, I believe the Washington football team's Dan Snyder was also in line with Jerry Jones and Donald Trump's marching orders that his players are going to be required to stand for the national anthem. And I'm sure there are some others out there who feel similarly. But it's really interesting how this dynamic has mushroomed and how the players are collectively gaining steam and the recognition of the power that they hold. And people are fed up and frustrated with the likes of Jerry Jones and Dan Snyder telling them that they're going to be required to stand for the national anthem. And, you know, this whole message has been distorted to try to fit into this narrative about patriotism. And this was never meant to be disrespectful to the flag and to the military. And Colin Kaepernick said that from day one. But, you know, the more that people like Pence and Donald Trump and Jerry Jones and Dan Snyder fan these flames, I think they are getting this residual blowback that is probably anti what their aim is here, because more and more players are starting to talk about this, are starting to become involved, and this thing has gotten bigger than anything anyone could have imagined last year in the preseason when Colin Kaepernick took a knee.
On Tuesday this week, we had ESPN host Michael Wilbon comparing Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones to a slave owner. After Jones said players who disrespect the flag won't play, Jones, Wilbon said the ESPN host, seemed like he was supporting his players when he originally linked arms with them, but...
But now it just seems like it was as phony as a $3 bill. And the word that comes to my mind, and I don't care who doesn't like me using it, is plantation. The players are here to serve me, and they will do what I want no matter how much I pay them. They are not equal to me.
Robert Klemko, where does this go? Are we heading for some big clashes between players and owners? Are they going to, you know, be brought? I mean, I hate to even, you know, are they going to be brought around on this, or what happens?
Well, I think this is a fight that's been looming for some time, whether or not owners or players or the league really recognized it. You have a league that has done everything it could for the last 30, 40 years to suppress individual marketability and individual voices, whereas in the NBA there are entire websites dedicated to the sneakers that players choose to wear. NFL players who do not wear the league-sponsored Nike sneakers are required to tape over their logos. Players are not allowed to wear hats with personal brands that aren't NFL brands in interviews. NFL media relations folks have way more leeway than NBA folks than their NBA counterparts in discussing with players what they should and shouldn't speak about. So in the NBA, players stand for the anthem. There's a rule requiring players to stand for the anthem, but that's never been an issue for them because they are so encouraged and allowed to speak on their own behalf and behave on their own behalf. But NFL players simply have not been. And part of the reason the league has been able to get away with that for so long is that they lack in job security, the players do, because of the rate of injury. But now with social media, Instagram, Twitter, I think a lot of these young men have found their voices in the political realm, and this has been the best way for them to express it, despite how they feel about the message being distorted here in the last few weeks, as Alejandro alluded to. So I think that it's something that is not going to go away soon and may evolve depending on how the league handles it.
I mean, people are talking about a player revolt here. I don't know. Maybe it'll go the other way. The president certainly tries to keep bringing the hammer down here. He was with Fox's Sean Hannity in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, Wednesday, and had this to say, the president, about the NFL protests.
So I watched Colin Kaepernick, and I thought it was terrible. And then it got bigger and bigger and started mushrooming. And frankly, the NFL should have suspended him for one game, and he would have never done it again. They could have then suspended him for two games, and they could have suspended him if he did it a third time for the season, and you would never have had a problem. But I will tell you, you cannot disrespect our country, our flag, our anthem. You cannot do that.
Okay, but you've got players. I mean, this was after the president's first SOB comments. This was Tennessee Titans or Seahawks wide receiver Doug Baldwin, who had never protested previously, explaining what the purpose of his protest was.
I want to grow up in a community, in a country where my kids are safe, where they're looked at for the character, the content of the character, not the color of their skin, their actions, and not where they come from. And everybody wants that. And I think that's a very simple thing to understand.
But this is getting kind of wild. Alejandro, could you see us getting to some kind of, I don't know, player refusal to play here? Or is the NFL going to finesse this somehow?
I think ultimately the NFL will finesse it somehow by throwing a bone to the players. But the players are going to become increasingly galvanized the more that Donald Trump intends to poke this sleeping bear. And it's really peculiar and interesting that he would talk about, you know, disrespecting the flag and how it's not going to be tolerated. Well, what part of the game of disrespecting the flag was clowning John McCain for having his plane shot down in Vietnam and tossing rolls of paper towels at Puerto Rican suffering from Hurricane Maria? What part of that was disrespecting the flag? Yeah. So I know we got to go to a break, but I think we're only at the beginning of something that's going to be very big.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Hi, everyone. This is Tom. Just a quick message before we get back to the show. I'm inviting you to stick around at the end of this podcast for an excerpt from another NPR show, Only a Game. Here's why. This weekend, Only a Game is examining power and corruption at the NCAA after the FBI arrested 10 people, including 4 college basketball coaches, for allegedly accepting bribes. College players and their families are vulnerable. Listen for a sneak preview of Only a Game's episode, Power, Money, and Corruption, the Exploitation of College Athletes, at the end of our show. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about where we go with taking a knee. The NFL, its players, justice, the flag, Mike Pence, the president, the First Amendment of our Constitution. Robert Klemko is with us, NFL writer for Sports Illustrated, with us today from Denver. Alejandro Danois is with us from Baltimore, editor-in-chief of the Shadow League sports website. Where is this all headed? Should owners really force players to stand, force them for the national anthem? Where are your sympathies here? Is it disrespect to kneel during the Star-Spangled Banner? Is it a righteous appeal for justice, free speech? And was Mike Pence right to walk out? The president's still wailing on this theme. Today, he was at the Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. this morning. And, really tearing into respecting the flag.
We celebrate our heroes, and we salute every American who wears the uniform. We
respect our great American flag.
The president just beating this drum. After he first said that NFL protesters should be fired, Malcolm Jenkins of the Philadelphia Eagles and Anquan Boldin, retired player, talked about the social policies they want to work on, including the bail system, clean state legislation. Here they were talking.
One of the many things that make our country great is that it was founded on the idea of justice for all. And we feel that it's our responsibility to take a stand against the injustices that we see happening in America right now.
This season, I'll be raising my fist to take a stand for racial equality and a much-needed reform to our criminal justice system.
We're playing against policies and practices that reinforce the cycle of poverty in the communities that need the most help.
And here's more from Philadelphia Eagles' Michael Jenkins.
If he were to put out such a statement, I'd continue my demonstration because my demonstration is in no way disrespectful to our flag, our country, or our service members. Neither is anybody in the league who's kneeling. I think we've made that very, very clear that what we're demonstrating about has nothing to do with the flag, but everything to do with social injustice, racial equality.
Malcolm Jenkins of the Philadelphia Eagles saying that if his coach followed Jerry Jones' lead in benching demonstrating players, he'll still be standing. Robert Klimko, Alejandro Denoir, please stand by. Callers, Dennis in Mooresville, North Carolina. Dennis, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. Speaking of the Philadelphia Eagles, they played my Carolina Panthers last night.
Yes.
And I attended the game. And while we were tailgating prior to the game, peacefully, a gentleman walked up with a bumper sticker that said, had a picture of the flag on the bumper sticker and said, "I respect the flag and I respect the national anthem," and he asked us to buy one. And my wife turned to him and said, "You know what I respect? I respect the First Amendment and the people's right to protest." And then she went on to tell him that her father had been in the Air Force, her stepfather had been in the Navy, and that they had fought for the people's right to protest. And so we weren't interested in your bumper sticker.
How did he respond, Dennis?
Well, he walked away, essentially, because, you know, when you hit somebody between the eyes with the Constitution, what else are they going to do?
Well, what about president here, though, Dennis? What about the president?
It's deflection, Tom. It's deflection. The guy's a master of that. The issue is justice, racial inequality, and inequality in the justice system. The issue is not the flag. It's not respecting the flag or the nation or the national anthem. It's deflection on the part of the president.
Dennis, go Panthers, and I really appreciate your call. Robert Klimko, can we tell you, you cover the NFL. Overall, what's the effect of this on NFL fans? How are they lining up on this issue? Is it hurting the NFL? Will the NFL stick with the First Amendment here or with the president's demand, you know, stand or be fired?
Well, I think Roger Goodell acted on Tuesday in that letter to 32 teams with the understanding that it was on its way to hurting or already hurting the NFL's bottom line. And I think that what Trump has really done so successfully here, as the caller alluded to, is reframe this debate not about the First Amendment, not about the original reasons for the protest, but of an issue with the flag. And that was a minority narrative that was, you know, being espoused by a number of fans that has really blown up since the president got involved. And really, it's a win-win for him in a lot of ways, because if he can reframe that debate as being critical of African-American millionaires who are not appreciative of, you know, the spoils they've supposedly been granted by these NFL owners, then regardless of how the NFL behaves, regardless of whether the protest stops or not, it's something that hit the 30% of people who are, you know, his devout followers can get behind.
Get behind in a way you think that will leverage the NFL? I mean, if they push too far, what happens to their relationship with their players?
Well,
I mean, African-Americans are overwhelmingly on these fields.
They've already leveraged the NFL to put out a statement asking players to stand. That is not something that the NFL was prepared or ready to do in the weeks before President Trump got involved.
Yeah, there we are. Here's Roger Goodell on Wednesday night, NFL Network's Nate Burleson, asking NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell how the league is planning to move forward.
The real dialogue and the real issues have been overtaken by the controversy. And I think what we really want to try to do is get back to focusing on the actions that we want to take to really improve our communities and support our players.
We'll look at what that might mean. Andy in Glen Burnie, Maryland. Andy, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Yeah.
I keep hearing here as this is going along talk about the relationship between the NFL and their players, the relationship between the players and the president. What I don't hear anything about is the fact that the NFL and football is a spectator sport. It's driven by the sales of the people who attend the games and by the people who watch it on TV.
Yep.
It doesn't really matter what the players say their protest is about. What matters is what the people who are the spectators think their protest is about. And a lot of the people who watch the game or go to the games don't like the idea that they seem to be protesting the very thing that gives them the right to protest, the flag and the anthem, the things this country was founded on. So,
but do they have that right to protest, Andy? Do they have that right?
Do they have what right?
That right to protest.
Well, they have the right to protest, yes. And the spectators have the right to react. And if they, more people decide that they don't want to watch football, that they don't care about this, that they think the players are wrong, that's what's going to affect the NFL.
Andy, we've got it, and I really appreciate your call. Robert Klemko, Alejandro Dunlop, please stand by. Catherine Ross joins us right now from New York. She's a professor at George Washington University Law School, specializes in constitutional law, the First Amendment. Catherine Ross, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me, Tom.
These players work for the owners, and they're in the NFL. And now they're on the field. That is their workplace.
That's correct.
When the national anthem comes on, are we into some different territory? Is that kind of sacred space? If they choose to take a knee during the national anthem, are they protected in that because that's a political moment in a way by definition? Or do the owners have the full right to discipline, fire? I guess President Trump says fire them. Can they just do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot contained in that question. So they work for a private employer. And the First Amendment and the right to free speech is only about the rights that citizens have with respect to the government. So the government cannot prevent speech or punish speech, but private entities largely can. We have a lot of norms that make people think that they have the right to free speech everywhere. But an employer can fire you for what you say on Facebook. As long as it's not about your work conditions, there's some labor law things that go in there. They could be fired for any number of things that their employers don't like, as could almost everybody listening to your show.
What if it's the president of the United States who's bringing the heat for owners to do this? In that case, does it change the terms of this? Because there's
it feels like government influence
here, persuasion, insistence, demand, whatever you want to call it.
Exactly right. So there's a big difference between a private employer saying, I want to hold my employees to certain kinds of standards because they represent my team or my business, or just because that's how I feel. A small employer can do it because of their own values. But as long as they don't violate anti-discrimination laws, which are a whole other topic. But when the president steps up and brings the enormous power of that office and arguably of the federal government and chooses not only particular companies, as in the NFL teams, but also a particular viewpoint, which one of the points of the First Amendment is you don't silence speech and you particularly don't do it based on what the person is saying or their point of view about an issue, when he is not only encouraging people to make that kind of discriminatory retribution on political speech of all things, but he's also implicitly threatening. You know, there are a lot of things the federal government can do. They can, even though it would be illegal, we know that it happens, they can specially audit your taxes. They can not give certain tax benefits or other things that a team owner might need.
And this week, the president was specifically threatening to take away some of those tax breaks
exactly,
that they've had.
Exactly, threatened to take it away from the league. So that's not idle chatter from a president. That is bringing the power of the government to bear in favor of silencing speech that he personally doesn't like.
And he's been big on that. Even I mean, this was the end of September, but he was saying that he thought NFL owners were scared of their players, said it's disgraceful. Bringing the heat here, the president of the United States, here he was on Fox News.
I have so many friends that are owners, and they're in a box. I mean, I've spoken to a couple of them. They say, we are in a situation where we have to do something. I think they're afraid of their players. You want to know the truth. And I think it's disgraceful.
Catherine Ross, you're the constitutional law person. What if the players, under this pressure, band together and have some kind of united front? Does it become a labor law issue then? Are they any more protected or not?
It might. And you're getting a little bit on the edge of my expertise, but employees have the right to take certain kinds of collective actions and send messages. And there's some dispute about whether the messages have to be specifically about their workplace conditions. But I think one could make the argument, and listening to, I think it was one of the Eagles players that you were interviewing, mm-hmm. who said, you know, he wants his children to grow up safe. And there are an awful lot of African Americans playing football professionally. So one could argue they're talking about police brutality and inequality in the communities they came from, in the communities their family and their friends live in, and that they often are part of. So you can be an African American football player if the cop who stops your car doesn't realize who you are, you know, happens not to be somebody who watches football or doesn't know your team, those guys are arguably in just as much danger as any other African American in certain kinds of interactions with the police that we're all a lot more focused on in the last few years than perhaps we were before and should have been more focused on. And they might even be in, I'm speculating here, but, you know, if they're driving a really nice car, they might be in even greater danger because the cop may be wondering, where did this African American guy get this fancy car?
So they've got their reasons, and those can go a long way. We're looking at the NFL and take a knee, the whole pickle that we're in here. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Alejandro Danois with the Shadow League. Do you get the sense that players are willing to put their jobs at risk in this effort, that they feel that they could be at risk if more owners start saying stand or bench?
You know, I think it's a very rare breed of an individual like Colin Kaepernick who is willing to put his reputation and his livelihood on the line to make this stand. And it's ironic, you know, that we're talking about the flag and disrespecting the military, and this huge issue continues to have this deflection. Whereas Colin Kaepernick is still unemployed, and not because he isn't good enough to play quarterback in the National Football yep. League, but because he's obviously been blackballed for starting this next phase of this player movement. You know, unfortunately, the realities of these gentlemen's financial situations have to be taken into consideration. You know, some of these guys are not Wall Street wizards. Unfortunately, despite the fact that they make a very great living, some of them do not manage their money well.
Well, and these weren't surprisingly, these weren't silver spoon people either. They didn't come up yeah. millionaires.
Right. And surprisingly, some of them are actually living check to check,
yeah.
You know, living large, but still check to check.
Yeah.
And so this is going to come to bear when people have to think about, am I willing to let all of this go? And that's where you're going to see ownership and the NFL utilize the financial muscle to really get in and provide a wedge here between what could actually happen if all of these guys came together and challenged Jerry Jones and said, you know what? Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Dez Bryant, and every African-American on the Dallas Cowboys is going to take a knee. And then what kind of a team is Jerry Jones going to sponsor?
Boy, tough to take that away. Force me to stand. Catherine Ross, it may be the law, but, I mean, historically, you want people to stand because they're satisfied, because they're happy with their country.
Oh, that's a wonderful point. The Supreme Court told us during World War II that people have a right not to participate in patriotic exercises and that they can't be forced to voice the things that are not in their minds, with respect to the flag. And one of the things that makes our flag such a powerful symbol, and one of the reasons that it's a great place to protest, and where the national anthem is a great thing to protest during, is because of all the things that it resonates with. It's not because the flag is a lovely piece of fabric with stripes and stars. It's because of what it stands for. And one of the things it stands for most of all is our personal liberty, our right to be dissidents, our right to engage in speech that other people don't like. The First Amendment is for the speech that isn't popular. Popular speech doesn't need the First Amendment.
Does it make a difference, Catherine? I just got you for half a minute. That football's been so politicized already. I mean, there's flags and military jets and, you know, there's so much politics laid into the beginning of these games. Does that make any difference in terms of the legality?
It doesn't make any difference in terms of the legality. I think it contributes to some of the popular misunderstanding of what it means to protest during this opening ceremony. And my own view, and other people share it, I know among commentators, is that kneeling and facing that ceremony is deeply respectful. And Kaepernick himself explained that. The flag is the focus because of its power as a symbol. They're not disrupting the national anthem. They're not turning their backs on it, which, you know, they might also have a right to.
Catherine Ross, we've got it, and you're great, and we're grateful to you for joining us. Catherine Ross at George Washington University Law School, thank you very much for being here. Robert Klemko, Sports Illustrated, Alejandro Danois, The Shadow League, please stand by. We're looking at taking a knee. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. And we're talking this hour about where we go with taking a knee. The NFL, its players, justice, the flag, Mike Pence, the president, the First Amendment. It is all on the table here. Robert Klemko is with us, NFL writer for Sports Illustrated, with us from Denver this hour. Alejandro Danois is with us, editor-in-chief of the Shadow League Sports website, with us from Baltimore. Michael Caputo joins us in just a moment from outside Buffalo. Big Buffalo fan there, not happy with the taking a knee movement. You can join us as well. What about Mike Pence walking out? What do you think about it? Are white owners and fans ready, really, going to tell black players what to do here? You know, you must stand. Can we really say take politics out of it when we've poured red, white, and blue all over professional football and fighter jets over the stadiums and all the rest? Are you moved by the players' appeals to justice or teed off? And are we going to make it through this season or have a walkout? What's happening here? Nancy in New York, Camden, New York. Nancy, you're on the air with Robert Klemko and Alejandro Danois.
I think it would be interesting if more fans supported the protest instead of opposing it.
Do you see disrespect when they're kneeling?
No. Kneeling has always been a sign of respect. People knelt before their kings and queens hundreds of years ago. I think the person that's offering the largest amount of disrespect for the Constitution that he's sworn to preserve, protect, and defend is Donald Trump.
Nancy, we've got it in New York, and I appreciate your call. Thank you. Randy in Indiana, Cordon, Indiana. Randy, you're on.
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
I have to second what Nancy said. As a disabled vet, I support anybody's right to protest. I swore to uphold, to defend the Constitution and this country. It is disappointing that people may feel that they need to protest, but I support their right to do so. I don't see them doing anything disrespectful in the manner in which they are protesting.
The president's pretty hot under the collar about it, Randy. You've heard that. What do you think?
Someone, as I understand it, who got 5 deferments. Frankly,
in the Vietnam War era to avoid service. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Now, frankly, honestly, now, I'm not one for doing constitutional amendments willy-nilly. But I would support a constitutional amendment that would require everyone who serves as president, vice president, that line of succession, the United States Congress and the Supreme Court.
To what?
To have served a minimum of 4 years active duty or otherwise became disabled vets.
To get in the military if you're going to be serving at that level. Randy, we've got it. One more, and then I'm going to go to Michael Caputo. Andreas in Charlotte, North Carolina. Andreas, you're on.
How you doing, Tom? Thank you so much for the topic. This is important and dear to my heart. I am a combat veteran of Iraq, and I am an immigrant myself. And a lot of us are immigrants not because of economic conditions, but because of freedom. This is the United States of America. This is the place where you don't have to bow or stand for any symbol, not a flag, not an anthem. They're taking us back six decades socially. The citizen, the person, the human comes before all of those symbols. This language, the disrespecting the flag, this is the kind of language to run away from. This is something Maduro says. This is something Correa says in South America.
You're talking about South American dictators, yeah.
Dictators, the presidents, whatever you want to call them. This is out of hand. He is standing directly against the First Amendment. We are America. The flag and the anthem came afterwards. America was founded on freedom. America was founded on representation and taxation. It was not founded on a flag. It was not founded on an anthem. If you want to respect something, respect the Constitution, up and foremost. There is a reason that it's the First Amendment.
Andreas, we've got it. And, I mean, you're singing my song there. I love this country. But to me, yes, I agree with you. It's about freedom. Don't force me. Don't force, or anybody else. Don't be forcing me, telling me when to bow. That doesn't sound American, but people get upset when it's the flag and the anthem. Andreas, I appreciate your call. Michael Caputo is one of those who doesn't like the protest. He's a radio talk show host on WBEN AM and public relations guy. Joining us from East Aurora, New York, outside Buffalo today, longtime Republican campaign operative, was a senior advisor to the Trump campaign in 2016. Had a piece written for CNN on Monday headlined, "Why Taking the Knee Stomps on My Foot." You can link to it at our website, and he's with us right now. Michael Caputo, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm good. I like freedom. And I don't mind personally when people raise a respectful protest, but you don't like this. Why?
Well, I think that the players have every right in the world to protest matters that of the heart that really matter to them. And I, as a white guy from Lily White, upstate New York,
yeah.
I do struggle to understand. But I'll tell you this. I will stipulate, as a white man, it's nearly impossible, if not impossible, for me to understand completely an African American man's experience with race. I stipulate that.
Okay.
But I think it's also important for the NFL players to stipulate that they don't, most of them, almost, you know, the vast majority of them, do not know what it's like to be a combat veteran and what the flag means to us. Now, I'm not a combat vet, I'm a vet. I serve by, you know, alongside combat vets, but it's about. It's about the combat vets, the fallen, the people who have died in action, and their families.
But we just had a combat vet on the air, disabled Marine Corps, calling in to say, I fought for this right. I mean, you can't say that every combat vet has the same attitude.
No, of course
and we just
not.
Had Andreas, an immigrant who served, and said that's why he's come here to defend this right.
Of course. There's no unanimity
yeah.
in this issue on either side, on the NFL side, on the player side, on the vet side. But you also know that the American Legion, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the major mainstream veterans organizations have come down on the side that I'm speaking about. And I'll tell you what it is to me. If you walk by me and you stomp on my foot and you turn to me and say, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you," I'm going to say, "That's fine. Thank you. You don't even have to apologize
yeah.
to me." But if you come by again and then stomp on my foot again, and you turn to me and you say, "I didn't mean to hurt you," I'm not going to believe you anymore. And the problem we have here is the NFL players are offending fundamentally the majority of combat veterans who stand with them, and the families of the fallen. And these are people who are the natural allies of freedom and civil rights.
Well, then why not stand up for it here? I mean, what about, you say stomp on my foot, but they're saying we have a problem with too much police brutality and too many black people being killed by police in circumstances where they shouldn't. I mean, stomp on my foot. They're talking about people being killed.
Right. Michael. We're also talking about men who bled out over the flag that was on their shoulder, on their uniform.
Well, yeah, yes, women, we are. And some.
But one second. Yep. Women, husbands and wives and mothers and fathers who have cried their tears into the flag draped on the coffin
yes,
of their loved ones.
Yes.
These are very serious issues on both sides. I want to hear every word that these players are saying. I worked for Jack Kemp, who was the head of the players' union when he played in the NFL. I live down the street from the Buffalo Bills Stadium. I am an absolute, avid, complete freak fan of the NFL. And I've learned a lot of my civil rights views from players and from people like Jack
then,
Kemp.
Then when that black player takes a knee in front of you to make a point about justice in this country, are you prepared to stand there and say, you stand? I demand that you stand.
I don't demand anybody stand. I don't. I mean, that's up to the owners who can dictate a speech when people are on the under their employment, on the job. That's their job. It's not mine. I think they have the right to do it. I also have the right to stand back and say, you know what? I'm not with you because you keep stomping on my foot.
Yeah.
Tom, if I may.
Yes.
Michael, this is Robert with
Robert Klimko, Sports Illustrated. Yep.
I read your piece on CNN, and it strikes me as somewhat disingenuous that you wrote an entire column, 1,100 words, in which you discuss why it's disrespectful to kneel, and not once do you discuss the reason for the protests, you know, police brutality and inequality in the United States. I wonder if you believe that John Carlos and Tommy Smith should still be vilified for raising black fists during the 1968 Olympics in Mexico. I mean, what is the difference between these men and those men? Is it more patriotic to hear the words of the song, The Land of the Free, and feel in your heart that our nation does not live up to that ideal and isn't working hard enough to live up to that and to continue to stand because tradition dictates it, or to kneel and not sit, but kneel because you can no longer abide, because you think it can and should be a better place for everybody?
Right, I understand. And if you read my piece, you saw that I was referring to Seth Meyers' commentary on the late night show and how he discussed his own relationship with the NFL, and he's focused entirely on that. My piece was 1,100 words. As a journalist, you know that there is a word limit. My piece was just, as I said, I was giving my own experience with the NFL and my view as a veteran. And I could go on ad nauseum about what I think about the protests in that piece. That's not what it was about. You're talking about topic, right? And I get what you're saying. But my piece wasn't about that, and you know, as a journalist, you understand there are.
But pretty hard to separate things there, and it is.
It isn't hard for me.
Well,
it isn't hard for me because I understand where you're coming from. I watched on television as they raised their fists at the Olympic Games. I get that. I have my own limited perspective on what an African American feels on race, but I have a complete and absolute total 360 degree view of what it is to be a veteran who stands with combat veterans. And I'm trying to understand, and we're just talking past each other.
You can't own all combat veterans. You can't. We've got them calling in right here with a different view from yours.
I already said that it's not a majority.
Well, you said a 360-degree view, and it is not.
360-degree view, I said.
Yeah.
All right, and at the same time, it's a majority. The
I don't know.
Veterans organizations are out there backing this side of the view. I know there are exceptions to that. I respect their opinion as well.
Yeah, we got it. But it's not a military parade. It's a football game. But we've got it. Michael Caputo, please stand by. We're looking at this take-a-knee problem or issue, reality, and the NFL. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Javon in Tampa, Florida. Javon, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
This debate, this whole conversation started about police brutality, and it needs to stay there. White people need to get involved in this conversation because there are thousands of white people who are also being killed and brutalized by police. And it's a small number of police. They're bad actors. But when we look at all the issues of inequality, white people are being affected too. And instead, it's become a black-white issue instead of a bad policing issue or an economic inequality issue. So, white people need to wake up and realize that you have allies who are trying to make this country a better, safer place for everybody.
Javon, we've got to keep our eye on that ball, you say, and I've got to forgive me, Javon, but our time's growing short here. I want to get to thank you. Gregory in Enterprise, Alabama. Gregory, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm all right, Gregory. What's your story?
Well, I'm a vet. I disagree with the other guy. I served for 21 years. I am black. Okay?
Yes, sir.
I believe that they have all the right to stand, kneel, or do whatever they want to do because that is their right. I fought for that right.
I totally agree with you.
They deserve the right to choose what they want to do. No one has the right to impose their thoughts and their will on other people.
Well, Gregory, everybody, what do you say? I get it. I totally get it. What do you say to Michael who says, all right, but it feels like you're stomping on my foot, so I have a right not to support, not to be a fan or not to support the NFL here, to turn away?
Well, that's his right. He has his rights. He has his view. I watch football all the time. I'm a football fanatic. I love the NFL. I love to watch sports. It is my relief. Okay.
Yep.
But I'm a firm believer. Everybody has the right to hold their views. Now, for as the owners and them changing their policy right
yep.
now, there is no policy there that requires them to stand.
Yeah.
So they have the choice to whether or not they want to stand or kneel. I'm not saying that by kneeling it's a disrespect of the flag. People are saying that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gregory, we've got it. And again, our time grows short. I'm very grateful for your call. Robert Klemko, you cover the NFL. What's going to happen here, Robert? How does this play out?
Well, I think that the NFL ultimately is trying to come to an agreement with players on where to direct some of their charity money. The NFL, up to this point, has used a lot of the money that they collect from fines and a lot of their charitable proceeds and put them towards Boys and Girls Clubs and football programs and things that are completely apolitical. And I think that there's room here for the players and the NFL to work on programs that address the symptoms of inequality, some of the things that Malcolm Jenkins and Anquan Boldin were talking about earlier in the show here when they talk about addressing the ills of poverty.
And Alejandro, you think that would do it? Should that do it? NFL puts up a chunk of money for, you know, I don't know, to study police brutality or something, and everybody goes back to standing?
No, not necessarily, because the NFL cannot solve all of society's ills. And if people want to draw this parallel of having their foot stepped on, then maybe they need their foot stepped on, because nothing of significance happens in a place of comfortability. And if you feel as though your foot is getting stomped on, maybe you don't have the capacity to think beyond your own limited viewpoint and have some empathy and think about this gesture, what it symbolizes, the continuum of the black athlete protest. I mean, Muhammad Ali was vilified for his stance on Vietnam, and ultimately, history has absolved him in the same way that Colin Kaepernick and this latest phase of protest movement, these guys will be absolved as well.
Do you think there's enough solidarity among players to hang together here, or will owners kind of pick teams off one at a time, players off one at a time, and back we go, stand or else? Alejandro?
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I just don't think the NFL players are going to be so solidified that you're going to see such a muscular, cohesive movement among them. But I do believe that there is a leadership faction within the players group that you're going to see this pushed along further along the continuum.
Principle and politics on the line here. Alejandro Danua with the Shadow League. Thank you for being with us today. Michael Caputo, broadcast for WBEN-AM, Buffalo. And Robert Klemko, NFL writer for Sports Illustrated. Our thanks to all. This is On Point. Hi, it's Tom. Thanks for sticking around for this preview from Only a Game special report, Power, Money, and Corruption, the Exploitation of College Athletes, available this weekend on your NPR station or podcast app.
I'm Bill Littlefield. This week on WBUR and NPR's Only a Game, we dedicate the entire hour to one question. Should college athletes be paid?
Maybe you've heard. Big-time college sports are in trouble.
Well, it's about as bad as it gets. It's not the NCAA knocking on the door, but the FBI.
The FBI is charging 10 people with fraud and corruption.
We all know this system is corrupt. Every one of us knows it.
If there's going to be a death penalty, it needs to be to amateurism.
give amateurism the death penalty, then you have a chance at creating a system free of a lot of this corruption.
But the problems with the NCAA didn't begin on September 26 when those charges were announced.
The story of the NCAA is a story of power, money, and corruption. It's been going on for a long time. And it's the athletes and their families who get hurt.
I wake up in the middle of the night dreaming that I walk in the door and he's hanging. Or he shot himself because he's that depressed. You put trust in these universities. You trust them with your kid on and off the court. And once you're damaged good, they just kick you to the curb.
We've spent the past few months trying to figure out how the NCAA and amateurism went wrong. And can the system be fixed, or does it need to be dismantled?
Why in the world would we have football be a part of a college? What does that have to do with education?
Litigation hasn't worked. Organization hasn't worked. Legislation, there's no way it's going to work. So the only thing that was really left was competition.
I think we are in the midst of the tipping point. The question is, how far will it tip?